this dampness is getting in my bones, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you're ready.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Watchmen Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchmen Weekly can be found at WatchmenWeekly.com. Good evening, audience. Good evening, Brother Bill.
Good evening, Bob. And Chris, how are you gentlemen this evening?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. Really glad to be here. I was looking forward to, you know, having church with you guys tonight all day.
Is it capital C or small C?
I was looking forward to having a small C church. Just a gathering of remnant believers. That's where I find my edification.
Anyone who will listen.
I haven't had too much luck with the big C church, with the capital C churches. They haven't, you know, it's funny, I was just reflecting on that today. You know, all the years that I was underneath the false teaching and just struggling, you know, just thinking I was doing the right thing with all this stuff, you know, the accountability groups and the men's groups and the, all this stuff, you know, the tracking software on the internet, keeping an eye on where you've been and all the stuff that you
need. That's what Solomon was doing in the temple, rearranging the showbread tables.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. Very
and
good.
It's all flesh because it feeds the flesh. And when it feeds the flesh, but that was something tonight in the pre-show, Bill. I wanted to even ask you a little more about that. We were talking about fear and how fear drives us to fleshly solutions. And it was really profound because it's so true. And what about that, Brother Bill? That from? I mean, I see it, but I don't.
They don't use actually the word fear, but in Genesis chapter 3, but that's the first time that you see a relationship to fear. Or he says, I believe it's in verse 10 here. I'm pulling it up right now. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. So there's your fear. This is what causes man to resort to everything in the flesh. It truly is fear. And I relate this to, as you have in the past, and I believe Matthew 24 maybe, or I'm not sure, maybe it's Revelation. Men will seek death and not find it. I think that's in Revelation. And it's the fear. You get so full of fear that you look for a flesh solution to everything.
You get your gun, you get your preps, you get this, you get that. You want to preserve self-preservation, audience. And it's foretold, this is the Army of the North coming against you.
Yep.
Trying to instill fear. And they can do it. They're doing a pretty good job. And in current events, week after week, you know, there's tragedies going on, both natural and man-made. And there's great fear upon the land, but you're told to fear the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, you understand why man is doing this. And you have to look at it that way, because it was foretold. This is prophetic. Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. That was foretold. You know, when God questioned Adam first, he said, well, it was this woman that you gave me, the woman that you sent me. So really, fear of his flesh position there is causing him to put the blame on the woman. This is another thing that fear will do. I often wonder what would happen if Adam would have just repented in the garden, you know.
He'd be forgiven.
Yeah.
Or what if Esau didn't sell his birthright?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, though, they both put the blame, Adam put the blame on Eve and Eve put the blame on the serpent. And this is because of fear.
I'm just saying Esau, because that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
Just drove him to the fleshly bowl of soup.
I agree.
You know, isn't that, it is the same pattern.
And, you know, with Jesus too, they feared if we don't, the Romans will come in and take away everything that we have or destroy us or whatever.
Right. Oh, if they only knew what they were getting themselves into.
Yeah.
And I have talking about this end times church, this latter day church body and the remnant body and the fact that, you know, we see in scripture that, the end time witnesses are in sackcloth, you know, in mourning over their people, over the apostasy of their people and, you know, just, standing in the gap, praying that, they would be restored. But, this is so contrary to what you see in the house of God today. You see all the hooting and hollering and, praise and worship and calling down glory and it's just a kind of a twisted picture because you see the true followers of Jesus Christ are in mourning right now because they know what's coming. They just have this feeling of dread, even though we have hope in, ourselves, but it's still, it's just hard to reconcile all that, and I sure struggle with it because it's, you got to go to scripture because it goes against the grain of the religious system out there today.
And it's very difficult, audience, when you're studying your scriptures and looking at the churches that you find that this was all foretold that there will be a great state of apostasy. And that apostasy is so prevalent, it's likened unto just a swarm of locusts. And it's totally blacking out the gospel. It's taking our Lord Jesus Christ and blotting his works out, the works of the cross, the finished works of the cross. And the doctrines of demons, you could say millennial reign is a doctrine of demons. And scripturally, if you're new to the show, you need to study yourself approved and understand that scripturally that the 1,000 years is a spiritual number. And that there's this great white throne judgment time after the little season. And when you see these things, stand in the holy places, stand in the holy place right now. And for all of these locusts out there, you're told in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And that love, audience, is the love of the heart. And bless them is to thank them for their works, because they're all doing the will of the Lord, good or bad. And that is that's the forgiveness. You're to do good unto these people. You're to be an example to them. You're to tell them the truth of Scripture. And the problem is that, they're preaching it's us and them, when actually it's the Israel of God, the Israel of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, and them. And it's a shame that this is happening. This is ashes and sackcloth. Chris?
Amen. Amen. And, something I'm really seeing, as I've been studying the tribulation and the wind of doctrine, and, we see the outpouring of the Spirit upon all flesh, and, the Spirit that entered the house in Acts chapter 2, and, You know, we see that the Spirit, when it's poured out, brings everything. You know, it brings truth and understanding to the to God's remnant seed, and it brings tribulation, you know, to the apostate and every variation in between there. You know, the tribulation is what brings us to repentance, as far as the shaking. This is what Jesus said, you know, that we would have tribulation, but be of good cheer. It says, you know, in John 16, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I'm just really seeing a real distinction between the tribulation and the great tribulation. And it's there. It's definitely there, as far as the tribulation has been since all through time, you know. But we see the references to it in the New Testament as the life of the true believer, you know, is going to be tribulation. And a lot of this tribulation comes. It's the wind. The Lord always refers to it as the wind from the four corners of the earth, and who it comes upon, and I just in that simple verse in Timothy about in the end times they will believe every wind of doctrine. Or no, I think that's in Hebrews, isn't it? Where does it say wind of doctrine? But it doesn't matter. I don't have my. I'm just kind of paraphrasing.
It's a proper rendering.
But you know, they will not toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you know, you see the reference to the wind of doctrine is the wind, and it's the tribulation. This is part of the tribulation, is the turmoil that this false doctrine causes. You know, and
right.
With the
it blows the weed over.
It blows the weed over. Excellent.
It's in Ephesians chapter 4:14, and it's done by. Actually, the verse is very interesting. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro.
Right.
And carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. Now I'm going to tell you who does not do this. It's the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14. It says there's no guile in their mouth.
Uh-huh.
Everything that it's speaking here about this false doctrine is all in the definition of what guile is. It's a cunning craftiness to deceive. And the true remnant, 144,000, the true remnant believers that are come speaking the truth against the lie, they don't have any of. There's no deception in their mouth. There's no guile in their mouth.
And also to mention this and interject that the 144,000, the multitude, the seed of God, the wheat, the barley harvest, likened unto examples of, are spiritual and individual. You are the holy temple of the Lord. You, audience. And this is sobering. But when you put it on a flesh level and you have somebody saying that there are the 144,000 and it's a Jehovah's Witnesses. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, they have a version. They have their own version of it.
Their own version of a very spiritual recognition of a wheat. The
really,
deepest part of the wheat.
Yeah, yes. The 144,000. First of all, they're not defiled by women. That's Mystery Babylon. The Mystery Babylon is, I guess, could you say it's sin in your heart on an individual layer? they're not defiled by women. On a large layer, we see that as not being involved in the harlot Babylon system. But if someone is coming to you, preaching you the gospel, whether it be the milk or the meat or everything, and they're preaching you the true gospel, and they have no intentions of deceiving you, and no deceit comes out of their mouth, that or no craft is coming out of their mouth.
DVDs, Bill? Selling DVDs?
Yeah. That person is speaking to you with no guile. So that could be just an individual speaking to you one on one. That, you know, they have no intentions is to point you to Jesus only. There's no, they're not trying to set a trap for you, and they're not trying to set a snare for your feet, because they have no guile in their mouth.
No stumbling blocks. Metaphorically, this is foretold through Scripture, audience. That the great apostasy is upon the land, whether it be pre-tribulation rapture, any of the doctrines of demons that are being preached. If they're not preaching Jesus Christ, Him crucified, finished works of the cross, it's foolishness to them, and that's scriptural, because they won't understand this. Scriptures tell a story of what you're to do in your generation, who you are in your generation, and it was foretold. The prophets are teaching now that taught in the Old Testament. Well, this is foretold. And in this generation, you're seeing these signs in your apostate churches of the great falling away, and the strong delusion is brought on by the Lord for His purpose. It is only the Lord that knows the heart. You can't point fingers. That love them and forgive them is good news for you, audience.
You know, what you were reading there in scripture in John chapter 5 was like an image of what Stephen was doing. He loved them. He gave them the whole history of Israel, which the church, you know, the heads, elders of the church there, they didn't even know the Bible. So through the love of Stephen, he was giving them a whole history from Abraham forward. And, you know, and then obviously when they had cast him out and stoned him and everything, he was still loving those people. And so...
Audience, you go to Matthew 3:3. For this is he that's spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And his paths, audience, when you're looking at it scripturally, that's the Holy Spirit clearing your way. You are the holy temple of the Lord. And man is trying to deceive in every way the Lord. Actually, not you. They want your money. You know, there's the demons out there who want your soul. When you look at this, you're armed in the spirit. You're understanding you cannot be deceived by these apostate teachings. You will not fall into pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. Which, by the way, this week, another failure. How many people fell away from that? But it's the paths, audience. The path is to go to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this path and paths, this is a rut or a worn track. You are to go to Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will reveal this. And through His gospel, it's, you know, read the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit confirm this. Because they have changed the ordinances and they've changed doctrines, and in this generation they take evil for good. We were going to go to current events and talk about this war in Libya as a perfect example of just the unrelenting brutalness upon the face of the earth. Chris?
Yeah, I wanted to spend a little more time on that tribulation that I was seeing there. I just had a little bit more to add to that when I was talking about the...
Well, let's just skip current events. Go ahead. That's, audience, current events are all bad.
It's just, I was just seeing some stuff here because it's... you know, it's been perplexing, you know, as far as what we have been taught about the Great Tribulation and all the physical attributes. But we also know that it will be just as in the days of Noah, you know, before the flood. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah went into the ark. And you know, I've just had some really good understanding with the, you know, they knew not until the flood came and took them away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Well, these are all metaphors, like the flood. You know, the Lord said that just as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. But he also promised he would never destroy the earth with a flood again. So what's up with that? Well, you know, it's obvious to me now. I mean, I've seen this, and I've gotten a hold of this a while back, but it's just the pieces of the puzzle really fit together when, you know, the flood is associated with the deception, which is the tribulation, the wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine is really the heart of the tribulation. It's the tribulation of deception that sweeps the land. And as far as where we are in this whole thing, you know, it's hard to argue the fact that we're not smack in the middle of it. And, you know, we struggle with the times of the in Scripture of the 3.5 years, the 42 months. Is that just the ultimate final manifestation? But if it's so obviously, you know, bad as far as the flesh goes, the world goes, why would people be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? They'd be, you know, hiding in their bug out shelters, you know, or whatever. So there's always been something wrong there, you know, with the Scripture. But we do see that immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And, you know, we clearly see the manifestation of that verse, Matthew 24:29, as well as many other accounts of this, when the sun is darkened by the fact that the true gospel message is gone, you know. And, you know, this, I'm reading out of Matthew 24. You know, this is what we first started our Watchman Weekly studies on, you know, a year ago, more than a year ago. And here I'm going back to it, you know, just with the Lord's opening up some stuff to me. And, you know, I know he has to you guys too, but, you know, it's all woe to those, you know, the pretext of what I'm reading is, you know, the things like woe to them that give suck. You know, the ones that are still on the milk of Scripture, you know, facing the times of tribulation without, you know, studying to show yourself approved, you know, not a good thing.
And you know? Let me just interject real quick before you lose your train of thought, Chris. Woe to you that gives suck, audience. It's not a woman related to a baby. It's not a fleshly understanding. It's man or woman that is on the milk of Scripture, that is in the apostate teaching or doctrines of demons, and in a proper rendering is that if you've witnessed pre-tribulation rapture on a global basis and two predictions made in the past year are all wrong, okay, that is, the people that followed that doctrine did not study themselves approved. No. They did not repent of their sins. They did not enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit did not witness to them the gospel of the proper rendering of Scripture. And it's likened unto a plague of locusts darkening out the sun on another level that Chris was just talking about. It's multi-layered, blueprinted in terms of the proper rendering of Scripture. And Bill, I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
And, you know, I just see the description of the tribulation, and if it's what we've been taught by the Left Behind books, how would people be sitting there, you know, eating and drinking while all that was going on? Well, they wouldn't be, because the thing would, the point I'm making here, and it's just absolutely clear to me that the tribulation is the deception, and that's the tribulation that, you know, the earth dwellers, which are the ones that Bill was just talking about, as far as the 144,000 are the ones who are, they're redeemed from the earth. You know, they have no guile in their mouth, and they're not part of harlot system, which is exactly what the mark of the beast is, which is exactly where the 144,000 are accounted for in Scripture, right after the account of the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast are the ones who are, you know, letting their fear drive them to the flesh, to the fleshly system for answers, the bowl of soup, you know, for their birthright. You know, they're exchanging their birthright as a spiritual covenant people with the living God, and in exchange for a fleshly life that they're basically, you know, letting their own will control their lives. You know, this is the tribulation, and the tribulation is following every wind of doctrine. And, you know, in the context of Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And I believe that's talking about deception. And except those days be shortened, you know, no flesh will be saved. But for the election, you know, sake, those days shall be shortened. And, you know, I see that as the deception would get so great, you know, that if the Lord didn't save, you know, didn't shorten the days of this deception. Because, I mean, I'm telling you, it's getting really bad. I mean, it's really, really bad, the deception out there. You've got to have your discernment so finely tuned. You got to be walking with the Lord these days so closely, or you are going to get mowed down by this flood of deception, which is, you know, right where all this, you know, Matthew 24:24, then shall rise false Christs and false prophets showing signs and wonders. This is in the tribulation. You know, this is when this happens. You know, we're not talking about, you know, Planet X and Nibiru, you know, hitting the earth and that kind of thing. I mean, this is talking about, you know, when you hear about he is in the desert and when he's in the secret chambers. You know, this is stuff that we've seen with, you know, going to this esoteric, you know, teaching, the secret knowledge type stuff. You know, we liken that to the behold when he is in the secret chambers. You know, there's so much of that out there right now, deception that we can get sucked into. You know, and the lightning comes out of the east and shineth even unto the west. You know, this is the truth that is, you know, the truth of Jesus Christ that is, you know, invading this world. And then what did we put out last week? You know, we put out this email. I get these emails from the Elijah list. I keep an eye on what they're doing. And right now in Texas, there's a convention, a Christian convention, and it's billed the Gathering of Eagles. It's the Gathering of Eagles Summit. And, you know, this is an absolute in-our-face manifestation of Matthew 24:28, for wherever the carcass is, this is where the eagles will be gathered. You know, and the carcasses are the people that are going to be in this convention. You know, these are the dead bodies lying in the streets of Sodom and Egypt. This is all playing out right now before our eyes. You know, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, and this is after this. So this is already, you know, this thing's already well on its way, because the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven. The sun is this the true gospel message, you know, that is darkened. And the moon is the church not reflecting the light of the true gospel. And the stars, you know, it's so obvious, the stars are the people. You know, Abraham's seed is numbered as the stars in the sky. And they fall. This is the falling away, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. But, you know, all this is happening at the same time as people are sitting and eating and drinking and giving in marriage. So what's up with that? Well, I submit to you that, you know, this tribulation is raging right now, and it's a deception, and it's, you know, and it's time to not mess around anymore with, you know, putting anything off, anything that you're holding on to, fleshly, worldly.
Bill?
Got to get rid of it.
Yeah, when you were speaking there about the stars falling and the we see the gospel as possibly being a restrainer. That's when the transgressors have come to the full, as
yeah.
Daniel says in Daniel chapter 8. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full. So they've fully transgressed the covenant. They've just fully destroyed the covenant. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So Cain is going to rise up. It's right there. When there's no gospel left for nothing, you are nothing. You're going to be left with nothing but a king of fierce countenance. And, you know, that's what you were just reading about the eagle summon. And it said, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now, verse 25 is really huge here. And though his policy also, he shall curse craft to prosper in his hand, and shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, shall destroy many.
Yes.
He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's, you know, capital P right there. Prince of princes is Jesus Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. And then, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Where shalt thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days after I rose up. I believe Daniel's speaking about right now. These people are using all the craft possible to prosper. That's what they're doing. They're manipulating for power and control, for, you know, through self-will and self-exaltation. And that's the opposite of having no guile in your mouth.
It's the opposite of Jesus. It's the opposite.
It's the opposite of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the easiest way to proper rendering of our generation is, well, they went to the seminaries, and they taught doctrines of demons to the new teachers, and the new teachers kind of liked it, and they wanted a McMansion, and they started competing in the flesh for being serpents to beguile all of their flocks. They were the idol shepherd. And all those flocks gathered and have been gathering for such a time as we don't know. But they're here, and they're preaching doctrines of demons in the church.
Yeah, they're cunning artificers of lies with treacherous, deceitful intention. This is what guile is. All of those words on that Elijah list were guile. Was it the Elijah list you were reading there, Chris?
Yeah, it sure was.
That's all guile.
And this is told 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Well, we'll go over some of this, but the adversaries audience is those that lie in opposite to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and those that preach anything other. And they're likened unto, in our generation, is locusts. So it's not like 30, 40 years ago there was this big army of locusts upon. There was the gospel. The gospel was there, and now it's not. Very few see this.
And what do you do in a time like this? You do what Matthew 24:44-45 says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in much an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? So there we are. You know, I mean, what can we do? You know, just rule over your household and feed your family. You know, be the spiritual leader of your household. You know, feed them the meat of Scripture in due season, and pray that you're accounted worthy. You know, and that can extend past your own household, but to your people of influence in your life. You know, that you have an influence on. You know, share the truth that the Lord is giving you. This is what we do. This is what we stand. This is where we stand on the truth. We have our loins girded with truth. You know, this is what, this is the lightning I talked about earlier, spreading from the east to the west. Because at this time of gross darkness, the lightning is shining, and the lightning is, you know, going forth, and it's causing this tribulation because it's the wind of doctrine coming against the truth, which is causing this shaking, this storm, and you know, we're in it.
Prepare ye the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Chris so succinctly put it in terms of tribulation on one level, is that no sign will be given to this generation.
Jonah, yeah. What's the sign of Jonah? Preaching the truth. Jonah preaching repentance to his to Nineveh. You know, that's the sign that the wicked and adulterous generation gets today. Just those voices in the wilderness proclaiming the truth.
And you individually, audience, you are like a ninja being prepared in the belly of a whale for your own tribulations to come to the truth that you're studying yourself approved, that you've entered into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about not being able to believe it. I mean, this makes a grown man cry. When you first...
Yeah, what Bill was just talking about, do the king of fierce countenance, what does he do? He corrupts the covenant with flatteries. And what was the other word that you used there, Bill? And I know it in Daniel, that he destroys marvelously, or what does it say? He destroys wonderfully, or something.
Yeah, wonderfully,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is just this.
And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice. This is one of the very few times you'll see the word practice, and I think it's only a few times in the King James Bible. And shall destroy the mighty and the holy people.
And he does it the exact same way that Jesus Christ built up the true body with the truth, the true gospel. The way that he was in the temple. In the temple made not with human hands, the temple made with lively stones, with Jesus the chief cornerstone. This is the temple that Jesus used to inhabit, but now, you know, it's been replaced with this Antichrist, another Christ, spirit. And that's why the king of fierce countenance, that man of sin, that son of perdition, seated in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. I mean, this is the spirit of Antichrist that is in the temple right now.
And you're told...
You could say on a world political layer, join with the church is the spirit of democracy.
Yeah.
And that's the corner church, the Church of Islam, the Pope's church.
See, the thing is, the church now, and I've said many times, I've said this in some of my breakout studies, the church is in pretty much full agreement with the world now.
Yeah,
she's just trying. You know, she's trying to hang on to the back of this king of fierce countenance now.
Yeah, and it's the image of the beast. This is they're worshiping the image of the beast, which is this image of Jesus Christ that they have created in their minds.
Yes,
this
it's an image. Right, it's an image of Jesus. Right, absolutely.
Yeah, it's the image of the beast.
It's an image of Jesus that they've created through their imagination.
Right,
through fear, has caused this,
and their emotions and their adrenaline, and which is what these false prophets are playing on today, you know, which is really likened to that causing craft to prosper. You know, this is this witchcraft that's out there. You know, this is huge, and this is basically running, you know, the signs and wonders leg of the apostate church, and then there's the other leg of the apostate church is just being run on self-help psychology, and this is what's prepared the way for this dumbing down of the woe to them that give suck, you know, ones that forbid meat, the false shepherds that have, you know, kept their flock on
DVDs, they've kept their flock on DVD sales.
Yeah, that feed the flesh, right, Bob? And that's what it does. It always feeds the flesh, not the spirit. And then that fear comes in. feeds the flesh, feeds the fear. Fear feeds the flesh, flesh feeds the fear. And it's just a never-ending addictive cycle.
It's self-perpetuating.
Yeah.
And when you look at it scripturally, audience, we're going to do, and this will be a multi-show study, Revelations 11. And preparing for that in our pre-show, we much recollection of scripture is associated with this. So it'll be a timely study.
Mm-hmm. It's a playbook. It's our playbook for today.
And to explain it in terms of just very simple, proper preparation for this, Matthew 13:11, and he answered it and he said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, audience, the people that are in the apostasy, the great falling away, that don't recognize the diminishment of our Lord Jesus Christ on the world, the diminishment of his gospel, they are likened unto being blind and not hearing, and they know it not. They have no idea that this is upon the land. They are not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, and preaching Jesus Christ, him crucified, to people is foolishness. But to you it is given. There's much given. This is good news from our Lord Jesus Christ to understand his gospel, to do his will. You are likened unto, whether you're a man or a woman, you're likened unto a prostitute. You are a sinner. You just, man can't get around it from Adam to everyone that exists. But you're told to sin no more and go. And there's no proper, better rendering of that as to do exactly that. Prepare ye the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when we find out in Revelation 1:11, you know, it's a terrible story. It's a terrible story of our generation happening fleshly.
When it's time, it's time. When it's time for your test, for your evaluation, it's time. And that's what a Revelation 11:1 says.
Be a lively stone, a stone not overturned. Built into the wall of our Lord Jesus Christ on the foundation, his foundation, not your foundation. Many people out here are going to hear the term, you know, I knew you not. Many people are going to be surprised. This is the strange act is that no sign will be given. They think this is all good, everything that's going on there. It's good that Libya got toppled and the whole of that country is absolutely destroyed for profit and money and nothing else. Anywhere. War is never good. It's all for the money changer, profit and money. We have in the United States people sitting on Wall Street. They call them the 99%. Well, if you flip
that... they actually, you know, coined a term many decades past. It probably came in, I think, after World War II, that war is good for the economy. I mean, they're either taking an absolute, complete lie... And people would go around and start repeating that. And, you know, I heard a lot of people saying that. Many years ago, I would heard people say that. You know, it's just an absolute lie. War is not good for anything.
And it's like it done to a simple analogy. You're watching Jerry Springer in the world.
That's true. That's what it is, Jerry Springer. Yeah,
it's staged. Some parts aren't, some parts are. It's the first reality show. But you're watching it, and none of the players are good. None of them. and you have the discernment to study yourself approved and look through, and seek our Lord Jesus Christ and no man to teach you this. It's all bad in terms of this generation. When you begin with Revelation 11:1, this is the Apostle John. This was a dear to our Lord Jesus Christ's heart. He entrusted his mother to him to take care of his mother.
That's true.
And he endured all the apostles' martyrdom. These were his pals. They loved each other like a love of a child. Endeared with the Holy Spirit. There is no metaphors for love thy brethren with these guys. That was it. They were with the Lord.
Amen.
They are the lively stones built into the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ, audience. And though we do a prophetic Old Testament spiritual rendering, proper renderings to the New Testament, this is very sober ground to go into Revelations. Very few times am I led to go to Revelations on a study basis. Bill?
Yeah, this is a very key chapter here, and we'll probably get through 3 or 4 verses of it tonight. I think you gentlemen are getting more clarity on this than I am. But this has always been kind of a chapter that I know that I've always felt that if I could put this chapter together, it would answer a lot of the missing pieces of the puzzle.
Chris?
Yeah, and that's what happened. You know, Bill told me that a while back, and I just basically felt challenged by that, and I agreed with him. And so I just really started digging in there, and I just basically studied, and it is tricky, and we don't have it figured out. We've got it figured out on through to the first 4 or 5 verses, 6 verses, but it gets real tricky because the identities flip-flop so much. The identities are always flip-flopping, in Scripture, and it's really what it means to rightly divide the word of truth, because you're not dividing truth, because there's only one truth. And it was funny, I was showing a friend the other day about some studying the Scripture, and I put Esort on her computer for her, and I said, here, truth is always singular, and I typed in truth. And it just, all the words, all the times the word truth is listed in Scripture. And then I typed in the word truth. I put an S on it, and I clicked search, and that was it. Nothing came up. It's not in there. There's no truths. It's not a multiple truth. It's singular. So we rightly divide the word of truth by, identifying the identities, basically, is what that means. And it's the, you always see in every setting in Scripture, the remnant seed of God, and then you see the apostate. You see the two-thirds apostate that can be termed the serpents and scorpions, the thorns and thistles, the tares, whatever. And this is really what is the key to unlocking the Scripture in these end times, is the Lord's given us understanding of these metaphors. And that's what we're going to do here. And I think we're just waiting on the Lord, and we're not going to push him, because he does kind of, as a need-to-know basis, open this up. But this is absolutely a play-by-play of where we are today, because the Revelation 11:1 is the judgment. This is where the judgment begins. The trumpet judgments are the seven trumpets are the first four are the indictments. They're basically the evidence, and then the last three are the three woes. Woe, 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 it says. And this is the Revelation chapter 11 is an account of the last three trumpets. And it's the time when the Lord basically pulls the file.
And in terms of the proper Red Ring audience, it's very, very, very focused. We'll start with Revelation. Anything else to add, Bill?
No.
Revelations chapter 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Chris?
Well, right there we see the plumb line. We see the Lord measuring his church. And, you know, Amos 7:8, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. And, you know, this is the rod. The rod is the measuring device, like unto the plumb line. The rod is Jesus Christ. And he is, the Lord is saying, okay, it's time. Turn your papers in. You know, we're gonna grade you. And this is basically what's taking place here right now, how I see it.
Bill?
I have nothing to add to that. I feel that's a very good understanding.
And on another application, audience, if you search the scriptures, you find the meaning for a reed and a rod. And a reed is the plant or its stem, or that of a similar plant. It could be likened unto, by implication, a pen and a reed. And the rod is a stick or wand, as a cudgel, a cane or a baton of royalty, a rod, a scepter, a staff. An audience, a staff, likened unto, is that Moses had a staff. And the staff is very, very descriptive in terms of, it's part of the Ephesians 6 armor. It's a shoot. That is stick that leaves on or walking, striking, guiding, divining, rod, hand, staff. Now, the measurement inside the temple is, you're the temple of our Lord Jesus Christ on one level. And in recognition of this, this is telling you that you were to rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. And those are those who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and that are in covenant, and those that are not. And this measurement is for you to understand that if you're in our Lord Jesus Christ and you're measuring the gospel truths to your generation, you're finding that there's not a lot of people there. And there's not a lot of people in the truth. So this revelation is true in our generation. And then that worship, those are... that's literally to lay prostrate in homage to adore and worship our Lord Jesus Christ. And them that don't are without. Bill, Chris?
Amen. You know, the altar, you know, what happens on the altar? We offer sacrifice, and this is the spiritual temple of God that's made without human hands. And, you know, the sacrifice on the altar is what David said in Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. I mean, God will not despise a sacrifice of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And this is who's in the inner court. You know, we're talking about the inner court here, the inner part of the temple.
The Israel of God, spiritually.
This is the Israel.
Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God.
And this is where the Gentiles come in. It says, you know, there's a reference to the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And this is the process of the heathen, the Gentile, you know, comes in to Israel, the Israel of God. And these are the ones who are in the inner court.
What? The Gentiles are what?
The heathen.
Yes. And you're, it's likened unto audience. It, they're outside the court. They're being trampled. The measurement in is it's the seed. It is the olive tree. It is the fig tree spiritually. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And to the outside world, it's foolishness.
That's true. To the outside world, which is the outer court, it is foolishness.
And they are being trampled down. Well, who's trampling them down? Doctrines of demons. The locust plagues of the north. Every analogy and parable that you equate this to tells you that, you know, you're armed in the spirit to see this through the gospel, and they're not. And they know not what they do. And they do not know our Lord Jesus Christ. They are worshiping an idol worship, many false Christs. The list is large. It is not for the multitude to know this. They just can't see it. Even though they study themselves, they are ever studying, never coming to knowledge of the truth. Bill?
Yeah, Ephesians 4 says that because of their ignorance. Ignorance is actually the drunken stupor that they're in from drinking the false doctrine. As he says, these people's hearts have waxed gross. And so they become alienated from God. I mean, separated, that's in the outer court. Because of their ignorance and the darkness of their heart, I believe it says. In Ephesians 4:18. So, this outside of the court, really, it's a separation from God. And, you know, what runs the outer court, really, as he says in verse 17 of Ephesians, the vanity of their mind. That's why the outer court is just, it's being trampled upon. It's just complete insanity.
And the three measures of leaven, audience, tell you that this is all bad. Scripture is unleavened. It's the truth. Proper rendering of Scripture.
That tells you the drunken state that it's in. If you can't read that a simple parable like that and understand what it means, that really tells you how much leaven there is in there.
This is the understanding of the circumcised heart. This is not a fleshly gospel for you to peruse over and, hey, I got it, and I'm in, you know, I'll sign the card and I'll park my car and go get a latte and go for an hour at church. Or I'll go to the bake sale. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye sober. When you look at this and you find out that Revelation's happening in your generation, it's about as sobering as you can get. Because this is the revealing of the Scripture telling you by analogies that to them it's not given. Terrors. You're surrounded by terrors. It doesn't say that the seed is all in one row and the terrors are all in another row. It's that they were sown together. And if you don't understand that parable, you're not going to understand this at all.
That's true. That's what Jesus said.
Always remember, it's what Jesus said. No man is going to reveal this to you. Proper rendering of Scripture is that our Lord Jesus Christ and those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ and those that are fastened on our Lord Jesus Christ, they're given understanding, and you better be sober about it. because out right, there
the
is...
soberness is the opposite of waxing gross. Waxing gross is it's like being in a drunken stupor, and that's why they can't see in it. That's why it says because of the ignorance that is in them. Waxing gross is these people's hearts have waxed gross is the opposite of being sober.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm. Did you read verse 2? Are we in the outer court?
Or did I? No, you're not in the outer court, buddy.
Okay.
You're not in the outer court.
Yeah, you're just comparing it to the inner. Yeah, I was wondering if if I missed it or not. But yeah, it's these are the verse 1 is the remnant seed. The remnant seed who have no guile. This is who's in the inner court.
Right. Exactly.
And that measurement is by implication a limited portion, a measure, unleavened measure is given audience. And on many layers, this is the book of life. When you see these things.
It's also the three measures of meal, the pure gospel with no leaven in it.
The meat of scripture. For those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news.
Amen.
The understanding that you know that the whole world lies in wickedness and that no flesh is good. And the implication is that in doing so, you're in the wilderness being taught by the Holy Ghost and not in the apostasy and not in the great falling away. And that the armies of the north have no effect on you. They cannot deceive you with their false doctrines, with their Zionism, with their movements, their socialist. They're all Babylon. You're in Babylon. Revelations 11:2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, audience, you are given power to tread on serpents and scorpions. The Gentiles are serpents and scorpions and heathens. And in understanding this, you cannot go out and say to the preacher that's preaching false doctrine, you can't tear him up. He will not hear ye. You can witness to him the proper rendering of scripture, if it be of the Lord for him to hear it. The word does not come back void. But you're talking about the Gentiles are everything not in our Lord Jesus Christ. They are not in covenant. And they're preaching false doctrines of demons. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you if you understand this. You will not be deceived. Ultimately, every knee will bow when this has come into fullness of our Lord's time, not our time. Anybody want to comment on the 40 in 2 months?
Oh, I'm starting to see that, and I don't have to be right, but I see that as a type and shadow of the time of Jesus' ministry being 42 months. I don't see that as being 42 months literally today. I just see that as a type and shadow of that time period. When Jesus walked and was teaching, and his disciples, they were in the inner court. And the rest of the world that he came to, the world knew him not. He was the light of the world. And the rest, everything else was the outer court. And he was there for 42 months. Could this mean 100 years in our time today? I don't know. I don't really think it means 42 months, literally, though.
Yeah, it's hard to make it literal, but it's been very, it's caused us a lot of, I want to say confusion, but it's just been really hard to to nail it down. But the fact that I you know, this, I think we differ on this, Bill, but the Bob, I'm not sure, but the way that you know, we see that in the middle of the week, you know, Jesus is cut off. And I really do see where, this is how I do see it, that at the time of the crucifixion, that Jesus was cut off, and that he was that was this, that Jesus's first appearing, his first coming, was the first three and a half years, because the tribulation is the coming of the Son of Man, the third day, is many times attributed to the consummation, the finishing up of things. And I see, and yes, I mean, this could be a metaphoric number, just like the thousand is. And you know, it's a tricky one. You know, I can't say it isn't a literal.
It could possibly, you know, it's not an entirely would you say, off the wall to say that this 42 months could be the last half of 70th week of Daniel, but it's not really 42 months.
Yeah.
It's a figurative 42 months. It's, I don't have all of this figured out, believe me.
The one thing that the Lord does say, though, he says it three different ways, literally. 42
That's
months.
That's true. That's true.
3.5 years and 1,000, you know, whatever, days. And that's, you know, it very well could be an actual 3.5 years.
There, it may get down to the very end where there is, yes. There's three witnesses there. You know. So,
but this is all tough when you have to weigh it against the, they will be eating and drinking and giving in marriage and, you know, and no, not, because it's going to be just like the days of Noah, and they're going to be buying and selling and you know, where is the promise? You know, they'll be scoffing. You know, where is the promise of his coming? Tomorrow will be like today, only better. So this is the condition that we see, you know, prophesied.
You have the inner court here, Revelation 11:1, in that, I think you were speaking of Luke 17 there, and really Revelation 11:1 is Noah that's going to be preaching the truth during this time.
Yes.
And
yeah, it's the lightning, yeah, the truth, the remnant seed that are in the inner court.
And Noah didn't have a lot of success.
No.
Even though I'm sure he did a good job. I'm sure he did. He got the word out.
Armed in spirit in his generation, audience.
But there was no listeners.
And they couldn't beguile Noah.
That's right.
Noah was righteous.
But the one thing that is absolutely taking place here in verse 2 is the when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies. You know, this is Habakkuk 1:4 says, therefore the law is slacked and the judgment doth never go forth, which is what the condition is at the time of the second coming. And for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. And this is exactly what's taking place here in verse 2. The wicked, the Gentiles are encompassing the holy city, and you know, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. But then in verse 5 in Habakkuk, verse chapter 1, behold, ye among the heathen, among the Gentiles. This is who's the heathen and the Gentile. It's the same identity. This is what we call rightly dividing the word of truth. And regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it were told you. I mean, this is the work. This is the work that's taking place in your day. I mean, this is a reference to the last days. This is the strange work, the strange act that the Lord, he can't even put in. You know, if he told us, we wouldn't believe it. And this is the time, Luke 21:20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And this is all the turmoil, the tribulation that's taking place in this outer court, as the Gentiles are treading down underfoot the multitude, because there are three identities here in this verse, chapter 2. We've got the Gentiles and we have the multitude. These are the multitude that do return. They return to the Lord, and this is what this is all about. This is what's taking place in the outer court. the trampling down. It's like into the wine press, the wine press of tribulation. And you know, this isn't physical. This is the tramping down of the sound doctrine, the truth that Satan's deception, the deceiver, is this is the battle of Gog Magog taking place here. All this is all taking place right in this verse right here, and this is a playbook, because this is going on right now. Is the truth is almost gone, it's been diminished to to be likened unto Gideon, Gideon's army, and this is what the Lord I see, the pattern in Scripture where He is, reduced the remnant to nothing. I mean, how many, I can't say, but it's a small percentage to the, against the apostate house of God. But, we're just going to see this thing, this is actually the strange work, the strange act described in chapter 11. And, we'll proceed and pray for the Lord to open it up to us that we can, glean understanding from what He's saying here.
And the court audience, which is without, it's very, very telling. What that ultimately means is that the outer court has waxed cold.
And iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold.
The living water is evaporating. It's the... I wish were hot or cold, but lukewarm, no. Okay, you're either hot, cold, or lukewarm. And the doctrines of demons are just blinding. They are blinding and making the people deaf. The serpents and scorpions without that are in that court that have waxed cold. Are money changers. They are deceiving their flocks, they're idle shepherds. And it is given, what is given? It's to make, minister, number, offer, have power, but receive, set, show, smite with the hand, strike with the palm of the hand, suffer, take, utter, yield, to give.
Didn't it say if power was given to unto the beast?
The scorpions of the earth have power. They have power over the people. They have power over the minds of the apostate that aren't starting to show themselves approved, that have left themselves wide open to this deception in the outer court.
They're likened unto briar and thistles. Surrounded. You're surrounded. This whole thing is surrounding you, audience. No matter where you're at, you're the holy temple of the Lord. You own the land you're on. Or the Lord owns the land you're on. And He's protecting you spiritually. He's fighting this battle for you to see this. He's preparing you to prepare the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for them that are in this outer court, it is the judgment of the Lord that they be there. Because no man can tell who has a circumcised heart or not. You can't see this.
Right. I kind of liken this to Revelation 6:8 in many ways. And power was given unto them. I think this is the time of the pale horse whose riders are death and hell.
And the pale horses, this is the ultimate mingling audience. The doctrines of demons, they've changed the ordinances, they've changed the doctrines, they've mingled everything. All the colors are mingled. It's pale now. It's green. It's just an absolute mess of the flesh. Propagating on, it's all an abomination to the Lord. And you can't hide from this.
The transgressions have come to the full.
There's nowhere to hide. Chris?
Yeah, but there's good news still, because the Lord's about his work here, you know, and if he were to tell us, we wouldn't believe it. But, you know, I'm not, you know, I can say I've gotten glimpses of it, and I'm, it's, it, well, is truly amazing.
See, something has to come out of this. For it is given unto the Gentiles, the holy city shall he tread under the feet 42 months. There's, if there is not going to be something redeemed out of it, there's no purpose for it.
Well, see, this is where, like in Romans 11:25, it says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentile be come in." Now, see, we got the Gentiles. We have the Gentiles out here in the outer court, but some of them come in. See, some of them come into the inner court.
Right. Some,
and this
absolutely
is what's happening here. And this is absolutely a dual timeline.
This is the whole purpose of this procedure in 11:2.
And it's
until the fullness of the Gentiles, whoever is going to come in to the inner court,
tried by fire.
Tried by fire, let, right, and in all the land, two parts will I cut off. But the third part left therein, you know, I'll...
And it's really, there's a very deep meaning in Revelation, I mean, in Romans 11:25, is part of the dual timeline, is that this thing worked out in the day of Paul when he wrote this, and it's also playing out now as the blindness in part has happened to Israel. Well, this is, you know, the Israel of God today, which is the church. You know, the Israel, this is the great falling away. This is the blindness that's come upon the people. And, you know, it's this identity of the Gentiles is really, you know, a, you know, the heathen, you know, the, as far as, you know, the new converts to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, are still, that, you know, there's a time coming when the door is going to be shut, when no man can work. You know, pray that your flight not be in winter. You know, winter meaning after the harvest is over. But for now, this is all, you know, working itself out. And actually, the blindness in part has happened to Israel. You know, the two parts cut off. You know, this is the apostate that is actually about the business of bringing, you know, the multitude to repentance. And I'm just going to read Jeremiah 16. It's got an account of this that's really profound. "Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish for them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they will hunt for them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. At first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double." This is the tribulation. You know, this is the terrible day of the Lord. You know, "because they have defiled my land, and they have filled mine inheritance with carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. But, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies." This is their waking up. "Surely our fathers have inherited lies." They're saying, wait a minute, they're lying to us. Vanities and things wherein there is no profit. There's no profit in these sermons coming from these plexiglass apostate pulpits, you know. "Shall a man make gods unto himself? This is the image of the beast, and they are no gods. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might. And they shall know that my name is the Lord." You know, this is the process. That's
mighty,
going on.
Mighty.
What
is
a
the
what
power.
A profound scripture there. I mean, wow, that scripture was really
yeah.
describes this.
Well, it's the account of the Gentiles coming in the New Testament in Romans, and it's the Gentiles shall come unto thee in the Old Testament in Jeremiah. So there's two accounts of the Gentiles coming in the scripture for us. You know, the Lord gives us two witnesses. Those are two witnesses right there. That's a type of two witnesses. And which is kind of where we're headed tonight, isn't it? Funny how that works.
Yeah, they turn from the traditions of men to the gospel.
"Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity."
That's traditions of men.
There's no profit. This is the waking of the multitude. They're waking up. Yeah.
They will be fed unleavened bread by the Lord.
Right.
They will come into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news, audience. This is likened unto Pentecost. But now it's likened unto the times of Noah. You know, nobody's seeing this. Nobody's studying themselves approved. Nobody understands this. Revelations 11:3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Bill?
Well, I would like to hand this over to Chris, because I know that he's done a lot of work on that, and I think his understanding is better than mine, and I would like to hear what he has to say.
Chris?
Well, what I do have here is some scripture to shed light on what's going on here. Some other accounts in scripture of these two witnesses. Who are they? What are they? We're going to have answers to this before we're done with this study, and it's going to take as long as the Lord takes to bring this stuff out, because it's time. You know, this is all work. This is all real time, folks. But you know, Acts chapter 2, verse 18, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. See, this is a type and shadow of the multitude here, the servants and the handmaidens. We see two here, two witnesses, and there's a lot more to the servants and handmaidens. You know, we'll plug this thing in as we go. But what do the servants and handmaidens do in Acts chapter 2? Which is the time of the former and the latter reign. You know, this is the prophecy out of Joel. And they shall prophesy. You know, these two witnesses shall prophesy, just like it says in verse 3. And this prophesying is prophesying the truth, and it's causing the tribulation. This is causing...
Can I ask you a question, Chris, here?
Sure.
Are you viewing these two witnesses as being those in the inner court right now?
Yeah. Because okay. I think that these are the people that have come out of the outer court as they're being trampled underfoot in the outer court. They're coming to the truth. And I think from verse 2 to verse 3 is the waking of the multitude. Because, I mean, the Gentiles have come in. Okay, and I see these as the apostate that have come in to the inner court, and the two witnesses are the,
this is a process of them coming into the inner court.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because if they're prophesying, they're prophesying the truth. They're in sackcloth. Okay, and this is something we see clearly today, that the true remnant of God are in sackcloth. You know, there's no getting around a true believer.
They're not rejoicing in the street over the death of Gaddafi, are they?
No, they're not. They're not calling down glory from heaven to, you know, that they deserve, you know, and this entitlement mentality that's out there. Because, you know, we know this defiant attitude. You know, we did, you know, it's so hard to bring out current events, folks, because... You know, it's just lie upon lie upon lie. And, you know, we can go to Scripture, and the Lord reveals it to us, and we can tell you, you know, what our heart testifies to the truth of Scripture. But we do see this thing going on out there, is this defiant attitude. You know, there's a video of McCain just flaunting his pride, you know, warning the world to not mess with us because we're bad. And look what we did to Gaddafi, and this can happen to you, too. And he even mentioned Putin and the other dictators of the world, blah, blah, blah. And this is absolutely, there was another account this week of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10. It's the, we will rebuild. You know, this destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Israel, where they, and I don't know the story. I'm studying it right now. I just got a hold of this week. But the way that the the stones were knocked down, and they were going to rebuild with stones that they hewn themselves. And the sycamore tree was destroyed, and they were going to replace it with the cedar. And, you know, this is all just symbology of men's defiance. You know, this is what the stiff-necked Israel defying the Lord. And
right, that's what Stephen told the whole story there. He says, "Oh, ye stiff-necked, why ye always resist the Holy Ghost?" He says, "As your fathers did."
Yeah. This is what we're seeing.
Same thing.
This defiant, this is what the two witnesses are in sackcloth over. You know, and
so you the two witnesses come in to tell this, or you come to tell them this. It's the same story. They resist the Holy Ghost. You just can't, you know, you can't get through to them. They're stiff necked and they resist the Holy Ghost, and which is they receive not the love of the truth.
Yeah, and I think we can say that this 1,203 days. Figurative or literal, it's the end. It's the second.
It's the end. Actually, it doesn't matter if it's physical or literal. It could, you know, it's just the end.
There's 2,000 or 1,000.
We're in that season. I don't know how long it's going to last, but that's
guess what? 1,203 days. Well, the last day is the last day.
That's
the one. When it's the last day, it's the last day. And, you know, then it's over. And then it's the new Jerusalem and the new earth. And, you know, it's every tear will be wiped away. So,
like it says in Revelation 21:8, verse 8, it lists 8 things and says there will not be a new beginning.
No. No, it's not going to be a new beginning. It's the perdition. The 8th is the perdition.
Yeah, those are cast into the lake of fire.
And audience, the two witnesses are there. It's many layers. Many layers of scripture tell definitively of the witnessing. It is Matthew 18:16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Well, what is that word? That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, audience. Amen. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Well, there's two witnesses there. You, the holy temple of the Lord, you, audience, that are in our Lord, covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, that have repented of your sins, you're his witnesses. And the Holy Ghost is a witness to this. Acts 7:5-8, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul was a witness to this, audience. Saw this. Bill?
Yeah, amen.
Continuing on, audiences, witnessing is it's different than everybody thinks.
Oh, absolutely.
It is not the proper rendering is that those in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ that understand that in the inner court, you know, you understand that you are the root of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is nurturing to grow you in all generations, and he seeks all for repentance. That's what Peter spoke of. What do we do? Well, you repent, and seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the doctrines of demons complicate that. And the Lord, by his Spirit, through his gospel, tells the truth. And you are to witness this for his purpose. Acts 22:15, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel. Acts 26:16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. Well, this is the witnessing of the gospel happening. Chris?
Right.
Amen. That was what, Acts 26:16? Yeah, that's, I've never even seen that. That's awesome, because that's exactly what's going on here. I read from Acts chapter 2, 18 is my servants and handmaidens, shall prophesy. And then following is I will show signs in the heaven above, and the sun and the moon will be, sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, in the great and terrible day of the Lord. The word terrible as notable in the New Testament, the prophecy from Joel. But, this is exactly what Bob just said. Ezekiel, this is an account of what's going on in Ezekiel 37, which is the Lord raising up his army against his army, which is the confusing thing, the two armies. And the Lord claims they're both his, which they are, and they're both for his purpose. But the problem is, one of them's the good guys and one of them's the bad guys. And this is the thing that the church has got confused.
Right, and doesn't evil say that it's good?
Yeah, well,
doesn't darkness say that it's light?
But Ezekiel,
so the bad guys are going to claim to be the good guys.
Ezekiel 37:4 says, "And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." This is what's going on. The same prophesying that's beginning here in Revelation chapter 3 is this. The account of the dry bones, in Ezekiel 37, is underway. It's talking about the same thing. And then what Bob just read. Hey, Bob, would you read that again? Acts 16.
26:16.
Yeah.
"But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee."
Yeah, now see, that's actually jumping ahead a little bit, because I didn't, it's all talking about the same thing, but that's what's going to be coming up, a little further down, a few more verses ahead, when, as a result of this prophesying that's taking place, they stand up. They stand upon their feet, a great army. It says a great army in Ezekiel. It says, "And great fear fell upon them that saw this." This is the process that's taking place, and it's happening right now. People are waking up. This process is happening right now, and it's not a huge thing like is this huge revival that the church is looking for. It's I gather my flock one at a time. That's what the Lord says. But it's all in Luke chapter 10. This is another account of the two witnesses. "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come." Now see, this is an example of the former and the latter reign, which we had the disciples that the Lord taught, and they spread the truth to these 70 here that were, this is the process. It's an example of that dynamic taking place here right now. "And therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into this harvest. Woe unto thee, Chorazin." And isn't that ironic that this thing we're describing here in 11:3 is one of the woes, because we'll see that at the end. This is one of the woes of the trumpet judgments. It's actually two woes. I think the first and the second woe are in here, but that's going to be for later on in the study. "Woe unto thee, Bethesda." So there's two woes. Woe unto Chorazin, woe unto Bethesda. "For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented. sitting in sackcloth and ashes. So here are these two witnesses here are in sackcloth and ashes. You know, this is just all examples. And what comes up a little later in chapter 10? This is a verse we've heard before. Behold, I will give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, for the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Oh my gosh, is that powerful or what?
Audience.
Very powerful. On one layer, they're casting out doctrines of demons.
Amen. Which are causing
this. I noticed Ezekiel 37, you had here listed about the dry bones. It said, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. I think that links right into Acts chapter 2, 18, 19. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, the dry bones have no faith.
Yeah.
Their faith needs to be restored. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And this is all done through the Holy Ghost. The faith is restored in these dry bones.
Hear the word of the Lord. What do we have today? A famine. Yeah. A famine of bread or water.
Of not hearing the words of the Lord.
Hearing the word of the Lord, you know. So this is the exact process going on here.
And you can.
What happens here is they're going to restore the years that the palmer worm and the canker worm and.
Amen.
As you had pointed out to us, that it consumed those years.
All those years that the locusts ate the doctrine, ate the truth. And then it says the lions with cheek teeth, you know, eat the bark of the trees. You know, that's what it says in the next verse. And the bark, what's the bark? It's the covering, right? The bark is the covering of the trees. Who are the trees? Well, the trees are the people. The trees are the Christians. That their covering has been eaten away. That's the brutal part of all this, you know. This is all part of the falling. You fall from somewhere. You know, you're ensnared. You're taken, it says. You know, one taken, one left. That's not taken away to glory. When you're taken into captivity. You're taken into Babylonian deception. That's what that means. And you're ensnared. You know, taken means that you are ensnared. And, you know, these people lose their covering. You know, that's what we saw in Isaiah 28 when the short sheeted bed, right? The sheets don't cover you. You're not covered. You know, this is the real brutal thing about this. The fallen apostate aren't covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, like it says in Hebrews, you know. But this is the process of the Lord calling them back, because there is a portion that comes back, a portion that's not like them, as it says in Jeremiah 51. The portion of Judah is not like them. And they come back, you know, they're restored. They take root downward again and bring forth fruit upward. And this is what we're going to see here. The two witnesses are bringing forth fruit because, the two witnesses are prophesying and waking up, their associates in the church. The harlot church system is we'll see it in the next coming up here. But the way that the rain, they have power. To cause the rain not to fall. Very huge, profound truths coming up. But
and scripturally, you keep finding, audience, the pattern of our Lord's revelation in terms of witnessing. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I may make mention of you always in my prayers. And audience, the gospel is the good message that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they preach it not in the churches. And you are witnessing this. You're declaring the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they do not study themselves approved. They're under doctrines of demons. They're under misinterpretations, not the proper rendering of Scripture, not the weight of Scripture. They've changed the doctrines. They've changed the ordinances of Scripture. They've molded it into the man-made doctrines, the six. Those that understand it, they understand the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. They enter into the seventh, the Sabbath rest. That's every minute, every hour of the day. And don't believe anybody else that preaches anything different.
Right.
That's
they're
the
preaching the gospel. They're preaching the false gospel. Hath God not said?
Right.
Just as the serpent came in the garden.
Acts 13:31, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And that's anyone throughout history who's been in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And anybody that's not in that covenant is without. They are in the outer court. They are being trampled by the Gentiles. And those that are witnesses, that have the Holy Spirit, and that preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they trample on these serpents and scorpions that are preaching these gospels. The locust. They are fed the manna by the Lord in the wilderness. They are fed the gospel because there's a famine. And ultimately, people that do not enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, they die. Bill?
Amen. You could say Joseph was in the inner court during the famine. And the multitude of his brothers and stuff came into the inner court there in Egypt during the time of the famine, to be fed there.
Acts 10:41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, whom did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Audience, it's a continual pattern of being in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ to recognize this. In every analogy and metaphor throughout Scripture, the weight of Scripture tells you that, you know, you're to be lively stones and not stones overturned. Built on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the teaching of the apostles. And the gospel is continually patterned here. What did Jesus use in the desert? It is written, it is written, it is written. You have the truth of Scripture. You need no man teach you this.
That's right. He said, search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me. And that's what, you know, he said that to the religious establishment. They had all the Scriptures there. He told them to search the Scriptures.
2 Corinthians 1:23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth. Two witnesses. And Bill, could we go over the number two?
Well, yeah, two is it's either a house divided. It's two witnesses joined together in one. If the two are divided, they can never come together as one. Satan's house can never come together as one, no matter how hard he tries. It's going to be confusion. It's going to be a house divided. It's two factions of evil that come against each other. The two witnesses will always be joined together in one. and that's joined together in one in Jesus Christ, which is one with the Father, which is one with the Holy Ghost, which is one with the body of Christ. So, you know, everything is just one. There's no discrepancies. It's one truth. As Brother Chris said, the two factions of evil, they got two truths.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the third time you'll find two in the Bible is when there's a split, you know, good and evil. So you'll find,
it's kind of
you'll
ironic find two. That, it's ironic that our country has been built on that we uphold these truths, it says in the Bill of Rights, right?
Yeah.
The plural truths. So something's wrong right away. So we got
something
off to a bad start. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think Thomas Jefferson wrote that because it was done in 3 days. I think it was probably written long before Thomas Jefferson. Oh, did he put some final touches to it? Maybe, yes.
Yeah.
You can't hardly believe anything from history. But it's kind of rewriting the Bible, and it's establishing in many ways that your freedoms – are in the flesh, that your freedoms come from, you know, even though they use the word creator in there.
Right.
They're looking for freedom in the flesh.
And, which is why Thomas Jefferson had such a hard time with Paul. He wanted Paul out of the Bible.
That's true. He wanted Paul out of the Bible. That's right.
Yeah, he was a...
That Paul, you know, he's still causing havoc with...
He's still causing havoc today, isn't he?
And he grinds to powder.
Yeah.
All these doctrines of demons.
Yeah, that's
exactly why they want him out of here.
See, that's what's happening.
Preachers on TV that tears the book of Hebrews out.
Yeah.
This is the admonition, audience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. Holily, audience. Properly right, intrinsic or divine character, thus distinguished, which refers rather to human statutes and relations, which denotes formal consecration from, which relates to purity from defilement, that is hallowed, pious, sacred, sure, holy, mercy shall be. Audience, that's the holiness of this knowledge. This is the sackcloth and ashes of witnessing what's happening to people around you, to the corner church, to the Pope. From the bottom of the pyramid, the foundations of the fleshly doctrines of demons, to the top of the pyramid that are in the headlines. You're witnessing these accounts of Revelation chapter 11.
Really, like First Chronicles 21 says, you know, this is David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Wow. There's no symbolism in that, is there? But
no.
The angel's got the sword drawn out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. See, this is the church today. When this sword is, you know, the symbolism, we could do a whole show just on that one verse, but this is the church today, clothed in sackcloth, you know, like David. David is a man after God's own heart. And David said unto God, is it not I that command the people to be numbered? This is when David wanted to number the people. There's a lot going on there. Even I, it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as far as the sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded God to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan and Jezebite. Now here we just see all this symbology here with the clothes in sackcloth and ashes, the plagues, you know, David lamenting, you know, between the porch and the altar, which is what, you know, happens
exactly.
In Joel. You know, and you know, what is all this tribulation, all this, you know, what's happening in the court, in the outer court? Well, it's the Gog Magog war. That's what's going on there. And you know, it's the northern armies, the deception, the false prophets, the teachers in the house of God coming against the remnant waking up. This is the threshing floor. This is the process. This deception is what God uses to separate out his flock. And here we see, what is this? And all these accounts always end up in one thing, the harvest. You pick up on that in the scripture. The patterns are amazing. At the end of all this tribulation in the Old Testament, it's always ends up in a harvest scenario, and or you know, some type of separation. But it's huge. And I'm going to be done. This will be my closing comments tonight because I know we probably went long. But this has been such a great study. But you know, we see that they should not be plagued. You know, David is lamenting that God does not send the plagues because, you know, there's a huge type and shadow of the plagues playing out again here in the last days. And one big, huge signature that I came upon in my studies of this portion, this Revelation 11, is we can see the correlations of the swarm of locusts and put identities on most of the plagues, but the the plague of the firstborn, you know, being killed was kind of elusive. You know, we've had a couple scenarios, but the fact is that Jesus was the firstborn. But there's another huge, huge, deep metaphoric meaning here in that. And this is only going to, we got to give Sue and Randy all the credit for the, you know, putting together the fact that Ephraim and Manasseh are a type and shadow of the two witnesses in the Old Testament.
Amen.
And Ephraim was the firstborn. You know, this is the thing. Ephraim was the firstborn. And I go, oh, my gosh. You know, and this is all going to, you know, end up with, you know, a type and shadow of that plague being played out in these last days as the firstborns were killed. And, you know, this is a good argument if this is metaphoric or literal. I don't think it's metaphoric for a time, and I really believe that we're going to see this thing becomes literal at the end. You know, those who went through great tribulation were, you know, dressed in white under the altar, you know, crying out, "How long, Lord, till you avenge our blood?" You know, this is where we're heading here. It's, you know, we're going to give you the truth that we see. And allow you to, you know, we don't expect you to believe any of this stuff on our merits. You know, we expect you to be good Bereans, take what we've said tonight and use it as a guide for your own study so that you can study to show yourself approved. Because you need the Lord to confirm this stuff in your heart, you know, and otherwise you're going to be led into apostasy too. As you're, you know, that's what's happened today, that the church has gotten lazy and they don't seek these answers themselves. They've trusted their fathers. You know, what a great, I got to say, I just found that tonight as I was looking up the coming in of the Gentiles. But surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. You know, they're going, aha. The Gentiles are having an aha moment there, going, wait a minute. And this is what's happening, you know, as this apostasy continues and these crazy doctrines that are coming across the pike. And, you know, somebody that's read his scripture and says, where do I see eagles gathered? There's a gathering of eagles Christian conference? Whoa. You know, I can just imagine how many people have woke up to that one. They had to. You know, there had to be some more that saw that signature the Lord's giving, you know. And this is where we are, folks. You got to have your discernment tuned in, as, you know, with no static so you can, you know, hear the Lord as you walk your walk and with your loins girded with truth and, you know, your whole armor of God in place every day. You know, we see balance is a big thing in the whole armor of God, having all those components of the armor in place. Otherwise, you're going to have a chink in your armor, and that's where the fiery darts get you, you know. So, you know, we'll just keep tracking together, and, you know, we're just so grateful for all the support, all our friends, emails. And until next time, this is Chris Ardern saying good night.
Brother Bill.
Gee, I don't know how to add to that.
Oh, man, the Lord's really opening this stuff up. It's exciting.
Search the scriptures and be good Bereans. Otherwise, you wind up with the traditions of men. The Holy Ghost will take you away from the traditions of men and guide you to the truth. And I'll give it to Brother Bob to close.
Very sobering, gentlemen. Very sobering. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Oh, man.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. God bless and good night.